Okay. The third crown was created through the Papal Bull Convocation and also meant to open the Council of Trent. It is the third and final testamentary deed and will of testamentary trust set up for the claiming of all lost souls. Now, it's important that you remember the speech that I gave about the children of Israel being lost and the act of humanity that Yahweh requires by law to all lost property and all lost souls. Okay? And it's imperative that Yahweh calls his children the lost sheep. And when he surrendered them over to death, to be lost. Okay? Now, it's set up for the claiming of all lost souls are lost to the sea, that is, the Holy Sea. The Vietines assisted in the creation of the first Ketesay Act of 1540. Now, this was an act that was enacted in 1540 by the Vietines to use this papal bull as the basis of ecclesiastical authority. Remember this word now, because we're about to get into it, and you're going to see where I'm going with this. This crown was secretly granted to England in the collection and the reaping of lost souls. And what does this got to do with trust? Well, we're finna see. This third crown is represented by the third Ketesay Trust, created when a child is baptized. It is the parents' grant of this certificate. Now notice, all trusts issues certificates, do they not? Every one of them issue you these certificates. It's important. So you got to understand the origin of it in order to understand where it connects back to. It's very important. This is the title to the soul, to the church or the registrar, or to the registrar. Thus, without legal title over one's own soul, and hopefully when I get through this, you're going to see how you gain back your title. If you did a certain thing, then you gain back your title. And it's a very simple thing, and they know this. We will be denied legal standing and will be treated as things, cargo with souls, cargo without souls. And you know, I was talking to Rhea early, and she was telling me about there's a new thing I call the sleeves. I don't know if anybody saw this, to where they're creating these bodies without souls now. That you'll be able to, now notice this now. Unbelievable, man. I couldn't believe it myself, but I'm still gonna research this to see exactly what it is. But anyway, let me continue on. Thus, without legal title over one's own soul, we will be denied legal standing and will be treated as things. This Ketesay Trust is a fictional concept. It is a temporary testamentary trust first created during the reign of Henry, and I just brought this out. So it's a fictional concept. The term trust. It's a fictional concept, and I'm going to show you why. Because Yahweh never set it up this way. He set it up a way that they themselves saw what Yahweh did, but in answer to rich authority away from Yahweh and push heaven, as you're going to see when I get to a certain point, to push heaven away from you. So they know who this belongs to. They know it. But if I can keep you ignorant, then I can enslave you through ignorance not knowing that it's one thing that can free you. And Yahshua told you, becoming a son of Yahweh, you are truly free, he said. That's written in Yochanan. Let me read that to make this point. Because I know I'm going to be talking about this in the coming weeks, because, you know, all of this stuff is heavy, what I'm about to talk about. And then I'm going to show you that in scripture and show you what Yahweh himself has hidden from man and from certain men for a certain reason. And Yahshua answered, truly I say to you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. He who serves, this is in Yochanan 8, verse 34. He who serves the gods will not remain in the house of Yahweh forever. A son of Yahweh, a righteous man, will remain in the house of Yahweh forever. So since being a son of Yahweh makes you free, you will really be free. You will really be free. Remember that. I tell you, Yahweh is wonderful. I'm telling you. A beneficiary under an estate may be either a beneficiary or a CQV, which is a Ketase trust. When a beneficiary loses direct benefit of any property of the higher estate, and that's the reason why, notice, you remember the guys would say that they left their first estate. Okay? And you got to, as I'm going along, please remember these things, because they're going to make sense to you as we go along. Now, the higher estate, and that's the reason why we have states today, because there is no coincidence that we have the United States of America, and we have the states, and they have their names. And then that state has a governor. And there's a reason for it. And as I get along, please remember this, because it's going to make sense as we get along into this. Yahweh's willing. When a beneficiary loses direct benefit of any property of the higher estate that's placed in this Ketase trust on his behalf now, not willingly, he does not own this Ketase trust. He is only the beneficiary of what the trustees of this Ketase trust choose to provide him. As all Ketase trusts, CQV trusts, are created on presumption. Remember this now. Based upon an original purpose and function, such a trust cannot be created if these presumptions can be proven not to exist. Let me read that one more time. It is imperative that you never forget what I just read you, okay? Never forget this. Let me read this again now. Remember, this is the property of the higher estate. So this is an estate that's higher. What makes it higher? It's placing this trust on his behalf, because the heir hasn't come to inherit it. He does not own the CQV, the Ketase Trust. He is only the beneficiary of what the trustees of this trust choose to provide. As all CQV trusts are created on presumption, based upon an original purpose now, and function that we're going to talk about, such a trust cannot be created if these presumptions can be proven not to exist. And you're going to see what these presumptions are. Since 1933, when a child is born in a state, That's S-T-A-T-E-R-E, state, under inferior Roman law, three catese trusts are created upon certain presumptions, specifically designed to deny forever the child any rights of real property, of property, or any rights to be free, and any rights to be known as a man or woman rather than a creature or an animal, by claiming and possessing their soul or spirit. And that's the reason why when they go into this musing injury, they say that they sell their soul to the devil, they say. And I won't read this part here. The executors or the administrators, remember this, of the higher estate, willingly and knowingly. And here's the thing, convey the beneficial entitlements of the child. And you remember that all men, that is mankind, you always said I made them male and female, and I call them mankind. So anything that is born is a beneficiary into the first Ketase Trust in the form of a registry number by registering the name. That's why they have you register your name. Thereby also creating the corporate person and denying the child any rights. And I won't go no further. Okay? And I'm talking about this for a reason, because I'm finna show you what we got to do. Because I don't care about what these guys are trying to do anymore. It's pathetic, some of this stuff that goes on. And what they have done, okay? Let me see where I want to stop at. Okay. We all know that all cases are based upon the judge's discretion, which often defies procedure, statute, and maximal law. Well, they are doing what any trustee or executor or administrating a trust in the presence of the beneficiary can do under Roman law. And all statutes, maxims, and procedures are really for show. Because under the principles of trust law that they establish now, as first formed, now trust law was formed, I'm going to read you who formed trust law now. The principles of all trust law, as first formed by the Roman cult, a trustee has a wide latitude, including the ability to create any procedural mistakes by obtaining the implied, get this now, or tacit consent of the beneficiary. All they need is your consent to obviate any mistakes. The judge is the real and legal name. The judge is the trust itself. We are the mirror image of them, that is the ghost. The dead. It is high sorcery. This is what this is. Notice this now. This is high sorcery, trickery, subterfuge that has remained legal for far too long. And then the man said, spread the word. You notice this now. This is what, notice this now. This is a high form of sorcery. And look to Nicomia chapter 3. There's nothing new under the suns, my brothers, what I'm telling you about right now. This is not nothing new. I wrote about this in the book, the work, What About Gomorrah? When I talked about Tyre and how the obstruction of justice took place. And they're still operating under amity law today. was started in Tyre. They say, we can't tell you where this started from. Well, I'm finna show you where they lying to you. And I wrote about that in the work. What about Gomorrah? I wrote a whole section on it. Okay. To explain this, now that Yahweh is bringing more clarity to, that I really don't ever want to get into some of this aspect of it, but because of the fact that certain things took place, now I got to show what Yahweh and how man created the trust that you know today. In Nekomia, or Nekom, and if you're in the King James Bible, look, notice chapter 3, verse 4. It says, all because of the multitude of their whoredoms, of the seductive harlot. And notice this prophet describes this as a harlot too, just like our brother Yochanan described Rome. That is the Vatican, the Holy See. He described him as a harlot. Now this is speaking of Nineveh. And I'm going to tell you, they all understood this knowledge that we're talking about now. All because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the seductive harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, who sails nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. And this witchcraft is also known and was known in the days of old as a craft. And we call them policies today. They call them policy. That's why Daniel says this man will, in Daniel chapter 7, when he speaks of this king in this generation, not chapter, where is that at? That's in Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. And he said, and through his policy, he will cause craft. Please understand what I'm saying to you. He will cause craft to succeed in his hand, and he will magnify himself in his heart, because by peace he will destroy many. He already done destroyed many. Now we remember that in history, that the Vatican created the Vatican created what they call indulgences now, and if nobody don't know what indulgences was, these was kind of like credits, they call them credits, that would purge one of any king of a nation who done any sin. He could pay a certain amount of money and he will be forgiven of his sins. Okay? I'm going to read some of this, but I want you to understand how things are developed and how these individuals have systematically, by using certain things that they created now, to enslave not only man, but and also overtake the earth and everything connected with it. Okay? And everything operates in a certain way, as we're going to get into in another thing. The Catholic doctrine acknowledges the existence of the treasury. Remember this word here. The treasury of one true heaven. And I'm going to show you how slick these guys are when they do this. Now, they recognize that there's a treasury of the one true heaven. Now, we know that the term heaven is also known to identify Yahweh. The term heaven. Now, they recognize that there's a treasury. Did not Yahweh have a treasury in his house that we're going to get into? And I'm going to show you what this treasury was. If you look this up before I get to it, a treasury is a depository. It's a depository. And it's important that you understand that concept. Canon law 992 of the Roman Code is one of several canons that by implications recognizes the existence of the treasury of the one Yahweh. I'm going to put Yahweh so so they can understand, people can understand what these individuals are saying, okay? And therefore, the Pactum de Singulero Calum being the covenant of the one heaven, or the covenant of the one Yahweh. That's what this is. Now, what other covenant, if you know the covenant of the one heaven, that you have ever heard? The only covenant that has ever came from heaven is the one that Yahweh gave to Israel. And he gave this everlasting covenant also to Noah. And I'm going to show you what he did with Noah. Okay? I'm telling you, brothers, with Yahweh, when he opened your mind to this understanding, you're going to realize that we serve a powerful Father. And he's warning us to not get caught up into the webs of deceit and the webs of fraud. When the idea was first invented at the start of the 13th century, the Roman cult and their Vietine allies conceived that the idea that in heaven, a doubly entry book keeping transactions, that is an entry book keeping transaction, took place every time we sinned here on earth. Now, where did they get this at now? Okay. Now, this goes back to what Urapha brought out in the last feast we had about the book on the blood. And we're finna get into it. We're finna get into what the word is, all of that book ties back to and what it was teaching you. And he says here now, where every time they took place in heaven, he said there's a transaction that takes place. Every time we sin here on earth, whereby God, they say, in his infinite grace, would offset our sin, being debt, with credits drawn from the treasury of one heaven. This purely spiritual accounting procedure, now notice this is an accounting procedure now, strangely mimicking the Vietine accounting laws, was said to occur automatically without any request for intercession. According to the Roman cult, the source of the credits in the treasury of one heaven is the blood sacrificed or split by the saints, and they have Jesus Christ here now, in the name of the divine creator, thus reinforcing the ancient laws of Leviticus and the ancient laws of the cult of Mithra, that blood was the highest form of currency from which we get the literal phrase blood payment, offsetting any sin. This concept of the treasury of one heaven, blood is the highest source of currency. And you often see what these individuals have done. And that the automatic double entry bookkeeping by God are fundamental and foundational concepts to indulgences that set the framework to the justify the role and purpose of the indulgences that they gave out, that they created now. Indulgences are therefore both the rituals that creates to partial or total credit, as well as the documentary evidence and title of the event, often called a remit or remittance, that is from the Latin re, property, and mito, miss, send, dispatch, or transmit something. I want y'all to see where this came from. This is the reason why. Please bear with me, okay? I got a lot of information to bring, and I'm not going to go through all of this, but I am going to lay down some points on this that I have to, okay, in order to establish certain things that to establish certain things, okay? Okay, here we go. Let me get to this part. They says, you are slaves because since 1933, upon a new child being born, the executors or administrators of the higher estate willingly and knowingly conveyed the beneficial entitlements of the child as beneficiaries into the Ketesei Trust in the form of a registry number by registering the name. They are also creating the corporate person and denying the child the rights of real property. And remember that now, because it's important. Now, you may not realize you are a slave under the slave laws or what they call the Uniform Commercial Code, but may still erroneously believe you are a slave with more rights or used to be afforded under the common law until it was largely abolished back in 1933 without properly telling you. The word common comes from the 14th century Latin word communus, meaning to entrust, commit to a burden or to a public duty. So in other words, the real meaning of coming as first formed because of the creation of the Roman trust over the planet is the concept of voluntary servitude and also voluntary surrender. And the way this works is they benefit off of your energy that you input and what you inquire, and then they turn around and they take it back from you because you never owned it in the first place. Let me skip certain things here, and I want to deal with one point of this. Deal with that on another time. Okay, now remember I talked about this ecclesiastical deed, and I want to emphasize on this real quickly. Okay, and we'll get to this on another time period. Okay, an ecclesiastical deed is permitted to be issued when an inferior Roman person rejects the rule of law and seeks to assert an untenable and illogical position of superior rights over what they call the divine law. But when they say the divine law, I want you to understand something that they are saying. The divine law in their concept, as I'm going to read you, is not what I have always thought it was until Yahweh got me deep into this and said, I want you to look at this now. And I'm going to want you to look at what they're saying is a divine law. Okay? Because according to them, the divine law cannot be written. It cannot be written. And I'm going to show you why they say it cannot be written. But it can only be given to one to instruct or to define by this divine grace, they say. Well, the divine law to them is what we know today as the Talmudic law, which is an oral law, okay, that they have committed to writing now, but they didn't for years. It was always passed down. This is a law that was never written now. They are committing these oral teachings now into what we call Talmudic law today, which is one of the forms of the courts, all courts today. And what did this have to do with trust? Well, you're going to see, because all this stuff to understand, you got to understand this aspect of it. Only a true person may issue what they call an ecclesiastical deed. By definition, an inferior Roman person has no authority to issue this. an ecclesiastical deed must always be one of a standard. And notice what it is. And it must be printed in a certain font that I won't say right now, in recognition and respect of his status as a divine notice. This is a divine notice. That's the reason why I say we got to change the way we think and change the way we write. We cannot follow the guidelines of these individuals, or you're falling right into exactly what they want you to fall into, because you're only following what they have laid down to you. So what jurisdiction or what authority can you establish yourself on if you are just following what they say or the format that they have set for you? But see, this is a universal thing that Moshe understood, that he delivered his children by, the children of Israel by, that I'm going to show you. He understood this. And he understood that every government, not all in government understood this, as even those that are in the judicial realm and the branches of government don't understand the depthness of what I'm bringing you right now. But this is the divine with the full authority of one heaven. Notice how they keep repeating this one heaven. And this is the one Yahweh. Remember that. That's who they're talking about here. Then this is a divine notice with the full authority of one heaven. In particular to the Sacra Rota, which is the 12 apostolic notaries, which they call the Divine Sanhedrin. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you that this deed, what they call an ecclesiastical deed, okay, that no inferior Roman person can write to them, as long as you're operating as a Roman, you're following Roman practice and Roman form, because a trust is established by its form, its formulation. It has all the requirements of what you must do, how you are to do things, what documents to submit, all of this. But I'm going to show you something now that they know that has been in all ancient laws throughout all eternity. I mean, all of history of man and earth. And they cannot deny this. Please listen to me. When an ecclesiastical deed is issued, it is under the Supreme Court of one heaven with the full authority of the divine creator, they call it. And all inferior courts, including the sacred rota, the Supreme Court of the Roman government, hence the term per quorum divina is always included to make clear to the inferior Roman person the absolute authority of the instrument. So this, and I'm going to get into this, if I'm going to show you what Yahweh has done, okay, and what he did in the beginning. And please go back, and I don't know if I send this to everybody, when I spoke about the first standard that I gave to everybody to read, was said, the first one was titled, "Let Them Have Dominion." And this would make more understood if you understood that standard. Let them have dominion. And what that means to every sovereign nation on this face of this earth today. While a true person issues, a true person, now, get this now, issues this divine notice, they call it, from the divine creator. Therefore, the dishonor of an ecclesiastical deed is the most grievous injury of the law and blasphemy to all who believe themselves to be divine. And you remember that revelation, Yochanan keeps saying, this is the one who blasphemes Yahweh daily. This is written in Revelation, you remember? In Revelation, let me read that. I'll read that. This beast, this entity, in Revelation 13, and he opened his mouth and blasphemed against Yahweh, to blaspheme his name, his house, that is his government, and all those who dwell in heaven. All those who dwell in heaven. That is under Yahweh's jurisdiction. Now, I know I'm not going to get to everything tonight, but I'm going to get to a certain point before I quit. And I'll pick back up at another time period. And I want to get to a certain point tonight, and then I'm going to I'll quit. And I'll come back to some of this. And I want you to understand that the divine law that is not what we think it is, okay? A trust, and this is according to their own law books now, I'm reading. A trust is a fictional, get this now. Trust is a fictional form of relationship and agreement whereby certain form, rights, and obligation are lawfully conveyed to the control of one or more persons as an administrator of the benefit of one or more other persons. Trust law, and I told you who created trust law, and the existence of at least three statutory created temporary testamentary trust, that is ketase, upon the birth of a newborn child. And remember, trust law is a fictional form of relationship and agreement. Let me see if I have something else I want to read out of here. Okay. Through with that section. Okay. A valid, now let's get to this right here, a valid canon law. Now, a canon means a rule, a bar, a norm, a maximum, a measure, or a standard. Now, a valid canon law neither abrogates nor derogates from the covenant of one heaven. It cannot. If it does, all are equal under the law and subject to the law. Any law that attempts to abrogate this fact is null and void. The highest law that they recognize, now let me show you about this divine law. Of all law is divine law, then natural law, then positive law. The totality of this law expressed through the valid canon is the law to them. It's the law. The divine law is the law that define the divine and clearly define the divine. Clearly demonstrate the mind, the purpose, the instruction of the divine, including the operation of the will of the divine through existence. Now the Talmud can't do this. Therefore, all valid law may be said to be derived from this divine law. Positive law is the law enacted by men and women through proper authority. Remember that now. A positive law cannot be abrogated, suspended, nor changed a natural law. Nor is it possible for a positive law or a natural law to be to suspend or to change a divine law. A natural law cannot be written or created, only discovered. A divine law cannot be written or created, only instructed by divine grace in accordance with these canons. Now, so is a divine law Yahweh's law? Because Yahshua, when he spoke to these, when he was there, he said, it is written. And the whole time, they will never accept what was written, even in his day. And that's why he said this, bro. Because these individuals think the divine law that they're talking about was the same law that Yahshua was fighting against with the Pharisees and Sadducees that made its way to the seven hills of Rome. Why is this important? The beast out of the sea. Remember that. That is the holy sea. And I get into that on another time period. Okay? Okay. But I want to get to a certain point. I want to explain his ecclesiastical deed and then and what it is. And then we will I'll give you a words of a man that gives us some incredible instruction. And it shows you that the man had understood because he saw this and he saw what these ones were hiding, always trying to hide Yahweh from the people. And anyway, okay, here's the key thing right here that I want everyone to understand is this key thing. And you remember that Yahweh said one thing when he established a covenant. And he said any sins had to be purged with blood. Remember this? It had to be purged with blood. And the covenant was the blood of the covenant. Remember this. And I'll get into this on another thing that these people have taken, twisted around in order to do certain things with it, not understanding what Yahweh was doing with the blood and why it's called the blood of the covenant. And it was called that for a reason. And I spoke a little bit about this, but I'm just going to mention it right now. It says, now notice, they call this the divine immortal spirit, expressed in trust to the circumscribed living flesh. Now this divine immortal spirit, this word divine is the holy immortal spirit, that is the laws, was never expressed in a trust. But I'm going to show you how it always was expressed. To the circumscribed living flesh has every right to lawfully sign, seal, and deliver this deed by the very laws, concepts, and principles that make all other deeds lawful or invalid. So they call this a divine immortal spirit. No. And we know that this is the holy, as only the divine, that is, can truly own property. And all other rights are bestowed through valid representatives of the divine. The conveyance of property and creation of the deed is perfectly lawful. Only then. And see, this is what Noah did when Yahweh says, I'm going to make a covenant with you and all the animals and with your sons. And then he told Noah to do something. Because as we finna get into it, I'm finna show you how Yahweh done this. But never through a trust as they created, but in trust. See, we must live our lives as trustees. Not the way man looks at it, but in trust. That's why the scripture said, commit thy works unto Yahweh. And that word commit means in trust. In trust. Not create a trust to where you can take property that only the divine, that is Yahweh, owns property. And remember, I brought this out in Leviticus chapter 25. He said, all the land, all the earth is mine. You are nothing but tenants. And I give you and extend to you the tenements in trust. That's E-N-T T-R-U-S-T. And we live, we should be living a being a trustee, not the way man thinks. And I want to show, I'm going to explain this to you as we go, as I go along. We must live, our way of life must be the trustee is a way of life for us. And I want to make that very much understood before I finish this. And I'm going to show you how these people have hijacked what Yahweh committed, that is in trust. Because Yahweh owns this property. And he entrusted it to your governance, your use, by certain principles and standards that we got to live by. Okay, this term ecclesiastical means spiritual. Remember what it says? The law is spiritual, leading you to the Messiah. Okay? And remember he said that Yahshua said that the laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. Okay? Now, a counselor, as I brought out in the work before, a counselor is defined in Yahweh's kingdom and government as a spiritual benefactor, a caretaker, a teacher, and an instructor. But he is a spiritual benefactor. He is a spiritual benefactor. And what is a benefactor? Is one who does something for the benefit of others. Is that not? Look the word benefactor up and realize when Yahweh calls you a spiritual benefactor, it's important that you understand that term. So this term ecclesiastical means an established spiritual institution who acts in a ministerial capacity. And this term deed is a written, so you see this word ecclesiastical is a spiritually written instrument. This word deed is a written instrument that pleads the cause. And why I brought this out, Yahweh says in this generation he will plead the cause of his people. Is a written instrument that pleads the cause, spells out the transfer, and the covenant. It spells out the transfer. It spells out the bargain, which is the contract, all contracts that man makes through their invention of trust, whether they are valid. I just read you. Only a son of Yahweh, a representative of the Creator, can determine whether a contract is valid or invalid. Remember this now. I just read it to you. That is my word. These are these people's words. I'll just repeat what they said themselves in their own law. They say this, not me. I didn't write this. I'm just repeating what these individuals have said. That they said that no law, no valid contract can be done without a representative of the divine creator. And notice, so this ecclesiastical deed is an established spiritual institution who acts in a ministerial capacity to plead the call, spell out the bargain, which is contracts, transfer, or covenant. Now, this term deed. Now, let me show you how man has done this. And they tell you this, and we follow suit. This term deed. And I'm going to read you out of their own books what this word means. Okay? And how they have brought this down to you through canon law now, the law that they themselves are the ministerial aspect and administrators of, not of the holy law that this ecclesiastical deed established and that I'm about to get into. 205, yeah, you know what I mean. The term deed means an act. A-C-T. Now, an act, a cause, it is a written, signed, usually sealed instrument. And the synonym of it is a charter or conveyance. To convey. So we see that the covenant is an instrument of conveyance, because the covenant conveyed something to mankind. So if the covenant, the everlasting covenant that Yahweh gave to Noah, and then from Noah, he divided the earth, because the covenant is an instrument of conveyance, that is transfer. It transfers something from one owner to another. This is what the covenant is. It's an instrument of conveyance. And the charter is too, because when a charter is created, it is an instrument of conveyance. Authority is conveyed through the charter. And also certain other things that we'll get into next time. And the synonym of this word means transfer. It means transfer now. Let's look at this word transfer real quickly. I got to establish this real quickly. This term transfer, that we see when something is a transfer, it means to give, to hand over. Write this down right here. This term, hand over, to hand over, to convey or transmit. A word means to shift the title of property from one owner to another. And then this word means to assign. Assign. Did not Yahweh assign the land to Israel? And did he not assign the land to the three sons of Noah? In these terms, to allot. These are all words of conveyance, okay? Because the covenant is an instrument of conveyance in trust. Get this now. This is the key thing. That is E-N-T-R-U-S-T. Not, they took the N off and they separated and they said, we're going to create the trust, the instrument of our own, to enslave mankind with and to own the planet by. But Yahweh never gave. He never conveyed to man this. He conveyed to man in trust that he would give you this as an inheritance, and you have responsibility. That's why to be a trustee, a steward, Yahweh calls you a steward of his house, that is a manager of property, of all creation in trust. That's why a trustee is a way of life for us. It's a way of ruling for us, not a way of taking something that doesn't belong to us. It never was. And I'm going to make this clear, and I'm going to show you this from scripture, so I don't want to say Ibn Iyad is making this up. I'm not making this up, baby. I'm going to tell you that now. I will show you in scripture once I get there that I'm not making this up. I'm telling you right now, I can prove all things. That's one thing Yahweh said the son of Yahweh must do. In such incidents, think carefully as to whether they are willing to gamble their career, these are judges, to find such a sacred and supreme document, which is the covenant. It's a sacred, it is a supreme instrument of conveyance of all things, authority, property, not as a trust, but in trust, that you will take care of it in accordance to what Yahweh has given you. and the laws, the wisdom he has given you. He said he placed Adam in the Garden of Eden to guard and to keep. To guard and to keep. To guard and to keep. And let me get to this point right here, and I'm going to move. And please look the word of fiduciary, what they call fiduciary duties that you know of. And I wanted to get to a point to where I want to show where fractional banking, how it stems from all of this, what Rafai was talking about. And I'm going to have to get to that the next time I speak. I want to read this and then I'm gonna quit. I ain't gonna be able to get to the scripture, but I wanna read something very quickly to you all that I wanna leave you with before I go. He says, when they have imprisoned you without a warrant or reason,